Okay, I'm Danielle. I'm a compulsive overeater, undereater, sugar addict, and restrictor. And I'm just going to take a second so hopefully my higher power can transmit a clear message of recovery and I can share, what's meant to be shared. I think I'm a little more nervous in a smaller meeting. I don't know why, but I find it useful to talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I can honestly say it's only through step work with a sponsor that I've even gotten clear about what the heck has happened. And I think that it was critical for my recovery and I and being in recovery. I will say that my life now is nothing like it was 3 years ago, but I will still say and be honest with you guys that like even this morning, I had some disagreements with what my reflection was in the mirror. So, it's so much better than it was because I have the tools now, but I'm not cured. I was also. I also don't identify with people who say that they were struck abstinent. I think that's wonderful. It's just not my story. And I've come to learn my story over the past couple of years. A little bit about what it was like, and I'm not sure if I would have been born a compulsive overeater or if it was my life circumstances. And I've come to determine that the cause is of no real importance to me. It's the fact that I'm here and that I'm willing to face the spiritual malady with my fellows and my higher power and this program. So I grew up in an extremely chaotic alcoholic home, and I have a sister who's 4 years younger than me. And looking back, I realize I was by no means fat or overweight. But in comparison to her, I definitely was. If people would stop and stare at my sister, and then they'd look at my parents and they would kind of be like, somebody should feed her, And so I would often eat whatever was on my sister's plate. And I just simply remember coming into this world like loving the sweet things, And about age 8 or 9, and I only know this because my sponsor asked me to do an eating history, which was really difficult, really, really difficult. About 8 or 9 years old, I guess I got to be what my mom thought was too heavy, and she immediately, for some of you that are my age or older, would remember this. She immediately put me on SlimFast, and I was definitely a rule follower and I definitely wanted to be obedient, so I did what I was told and did this diet right at 8 or 9 years old. And my mother was the alcoholic in the family, extremely unreliable, chaotic. You just never knew what you were going to get, constantly walking on eggshells, not sure if I would be picked up from dance or remembered about. And she took a sheet of note and created a calendar. And then above my bedpost in my room on that calendar, she would write my weight each week. And looking back on this, I realized kind of how deranged it was because I would have friends over to play and that was like for everybody to see, and it was humiliating. And so that was really my first diet and the first message that like I was just not okay the way that I was. And I came from a very big Italian family in New Jersey, and food was the center of every single event. And people would joke about how many desserts I was going to try and eat, and there was always like 10 to 12 different things on the table, and I would always try all of them. And it was kind of like I was the butt of everyone's jokes. And it just developed this, I guess, feeling that everything just wasn't all right and that I definitely wasn't all right the way I was. And after a few months on this diet plan, My dad, who was never home, came home late from work one night, and I remember it very, very vividly. He stood in the doorway of my bedroom and he came home and he said, "Your mom told me that, your genes are swimming on you. Congratulations. That's awesome." And I just remember when he said that, I felt like I had won the lottery, like I had this approval from my dad that, thinner was better, and and that you're not okay the way you are. And so that was really all it took. Excuse me. That was really all it took for me to take a huge leap into dieting and compulsive overexercising and trying to starve myself during the week as much as I could. But I heard something when I got here that ended up just being very, very true my whole life, and that it was that in every restriction, there's always a hidden binge. And that was just the truth for me. I could only stop eating for so long until I was, eyeballs deep in all of my binge foods. And that was just, my story. I must have been a really, really annoying person to be around, because there probably was not a moment that I was around my girlfriends where I wasn't asking them if I looked fat or if I was fat or how I looked. And I mean, I was just so obsessed with myself. Looking back, it's actually kind of disturbing. And I couldn't even really pass a mirror or a reflection in a store without like breaking down about how horrible I thought I looked. And I just never, I mean, self-acceptance was like, might as well have just been a word from another language that I didn't understand. I grew up in the generation where like, the diet pills were like, they were like real drugs, they really stomped your appetite, and of course for only as long as you took them. And so, most of my younger years were just revolved around not eating and eating. And boy, could I do both. And I've come to realize that whether I was dieting and I was being successful, or whether I was not dieting and not being successful, food took up the majority of my brain space all the time. So it didn't matter if I was being good or bad or whatever the case was. I was just in obsession and compulsion most of my life. And despite most of those things, I still led what would most people would consider to be a kind of pretty normal life. You name it, as far as a diet plan, I tried it. I was as obsessive as I could possibly be. Like to this day, I still can't consume anything with apple cider vinegar because, I must have read in a magazine one time that if you took a shot of apple cider vinegar before every meal that you would eat less. And I did that, I did the keto thing before that was cool. I'm testing my blood every single day. And I mean, I just obsessed with whatever it was, and I was just trying to achieve something that I could never really seem to achieve, because I could always be on a certain plan for so long until the horses ran out of the stable and all chaos broke loose. So I never understood what it was like to accept myself or feel good in my body or listen to my body or any of that stuff. I would absolutely torture myself with, staying in a sauna until I threw up, exercising with sweatsuits on with 100-degree weather in the heat, anything I could do to shrink myself and make myself smaller. I remember I was at a frat party in college, and a guy told me that I was tiny, and I remember thinking to myself, like, I have arrived because somebody referred to me as tiny. Like I honestly thought to myself, like, I would marry this guy if he asked, because what else is there in life than to be called tiny, right? It was just so disordered and so deranged. And I had I got married, I had children, and nothing really changed any of that. I still was just always obsessed. Every time someone would take a picture, the first thing I would do is look at it to find out, how fat I looked. I came to OA in desperation. So, just as a full story, I got sober in 2008, and the 12 steps worked for that. And in 2016, I came home from my son's birthday party, and I could not stop eating his birthday cake. Like, I just couldn't stop. I was just back and forth to the kitchen a million times. I was a prisoner. I just couldn't stop. And I guess I got a thought that, like, if the 12 steps could get me to stop using drugs and drinking, maybe it could get me to stop doing this. And I'm not sure exactly what was going on at the time with OA, really, but somehow I found some kind of chat room that shows my age. But, I found some kind of like chat room where you could like type and be in a meeting. And I do remember though, like it helped, if that makes sense. I was by no means abstinent, but it helped. And then I found a sponsor who I've never spoken to, but we emailed back and forth. Like it was strange. And I really did want this, but and I was just talking about this with a sponsee, like this program requires complete and total honesty. And I was just not capable of it. Like, I don't know how else to say it other than that. I don't think I even really understood how sick I was. So I was honest to the best of my ability, and I really like was a tourist here from 2016 to probably 2021. I wanted it, but I guess I just didn't want it bad enough. And of course, you guys can, I'm sure, relate, is every time I binged, I hated myself more and more and more. And things got more extreme, and it took more of the binge foods to, quote unquote, satisfy me, whatever that even means, because that feeling lasts for about 7 seconds until you have to go get more. And it was just complete and total mental prison and torture, and a horrible, horrible way to live. So I really, can identify with all the different manifestations of this disease. I can clean a kitchen out, or I can really starve myself to dangerously low, low weight. And when I'm doing that, it's actually very, it masks itself as being very empowering, and like I have some kind of secret that I'm holding to the world, like I'm better than you because I can control, what I'm eating and my size. But the joke is always on me because I always end up eating and then feeling 1,000 times worse. So, for what it is, that's what it was like. I crawled here in absolute desperation because my binging and restricting cycles had gotten more advanced than they ever were, and I got down to a weight that, I thought I would never see. And I was a weightlifter at the time doing competitions, and really, really put myself in a lot of physical danger. I cracked my ribs. I almost put myself into kidney failure doing a water fast. My blood pressure, I think, was 249 over 187, and everybody was telling me to go to the hospital because I was at, like, stroke level, high blood pressure. All of that though was just, it was just not enough to really make me take this seriously and do something about it. What really caused me to come in these rooms and get real serious was my daughter was eight at the time, and she came into my bedroom one day, and she said, and I just think about a perfectly innocent little girl who's 8 years old, and she said to me, "Mommy, I think that I would like to lose some pounds just like you, And for some reason that got me. I don't quite know why. I still had not succumbed to the fact that I needed this program to be my life, though. I didn't really know that. And I went away on a trip to my sister's house, Easter, and found myself at 2 o'clock in the morning, absolutely binging on food that I didn't even like. And the next morning, I was just so demoralized and so depressed. I got on one of these meetings that was huge, and I just wrote down every single phone number that I could. And I got a sponsor, and that sponsor told me, she asked what type of requirements I had, for a sponsor, and I kind of gave her what I thought I knew. And she's told me that her requirements were for the first 90 days, I had to make three outreach calls, And of course, my ego flares up immediately. And I'm like, you know, I'm a single mom. I'm a business owner. I'm this, I'm that. Like, how the heck am I going to do any of this? But I got to tell you, that was the only thing. I'm not going to say the only thing, but that was one of the things that I had done differently besides going to meetings, that changed the game for me, was picking up the phone, talking to other fellows and being honest about where I was at. And, you know, that was April of 2022, and that was the beginning of this recovery journey. You know, my sponsor at the time told me that, you know, I need to journal the miracles as they happen in this program, because, like I had told you guys, I was not struck abstinent in any way, shape, or form. You know, it was a slow process of, you know, I think I fired three nutritionists because nobody was smarter than me and I knew everything, you know, and I finally got a nutritionist that I didn't fire, and a food plan that I could follow. And, you know, you guys taught me about eating meals, and, you know, I realized that, like, I should stop eating standing up and stop eating off my kids' plates, and, you know, just all of these things that required, like, dignity and respect, that I do for myself now, that comes so second nature. But in the beginning, they were so foreign, you know. And this is obviously, like, a personal thing according to everybody's, you know, story in themselves, but, like, I never used to eat, you know, a breakfast or a meal at the beginning of the day, because I thought that I had this whole thing figured out. If I could stretch as long as I possibly could without eating, that would somehow make me, like, thinner. And that never ever worked, because I would always end up eating more. You know, just some of the things that I've journaled since 2022, as far as, like, the miracles in this program, and some of them are food related, you know, and some of them aren't. But you know, here's just a few of them, that have come over time, of working steps, attending meetings, sponsoring, being a sponsee. I never thought some of these would ever be me, but I stopped, calorie counting. You know, I ate breakfast for the first time. I ate breakfast with my kids for the first time, which is something I've never done. I feel more presence with my children than I ever have before. I follow a food plan, to include foods that I could swear, like, I was afraid of. Like, there's certain foods that I was definitely afraid of. For some reason, I was afraid of sweet potatoes and white potatoes. I don't know. We're weird. Like, I am not normal. I have come to realize that I need special treatment. I need OA. I have a disordered relationship with food that I need to be honest about. And that honesty is just the antidote, really, to my disease thinking. I've been more equipped in abstinence and in recovery with you guys to handle my children's emotions than ever before, because I was a very self-centered person. And if they had really big emotions, I was not equipped to handle them. And I just told them that, you know, they needed to suck it up and deal with it. And I pretty much treated them the same way that I was treated growing up. Like, work it out, you know, just work it out. Just stop. That's too much for me to handle. My ex-husband put me through, you know, 2 years worth of suicide threats that I was able to handle, you know, with my sponsor. I can actually, like, volunteer with my children now. We go to the food bank and we volunteer. I feel like there's more space in my life now than there's ever been before. And that's probably because I never realized how much I was thinking about food and myself. You know, I've restored weight, which was kind of hard to do. And now I'm a little bit more on the other side, where I don't really want to be, but, you know, I'm being honest about it. I don't have anxiety attacks when I go to restaurants anymore. I used to constantly hate doing that. I didn't understand why people wanted to always go out to eat. The overall zest for life and living, I feel like, in abstinence has been just completely restored. My memory has gotten better, which I can't explain that. My acne has gotten better. I don't obsess about food, and I don't feel left out when others are eating food that I know will kill me. And that's something I also never thought was possible. I always thought, you know, this life was going to be one where I just wasn't going to have any fun, right? Like, no fun at all. You're going to sit there and eat my binge foods, and I'm going to be resentful about it. So why are we even here? I can attend a movie theater now with my kids without constantly thinking about obsessing on the food that, you know, is for sale there, or what I'm missing out on. I think one of the things that kept me really sick for a really long time is I kept telling myself I didn't qualify for this program. Like, I wasn't 80 pounds anorexic, and I wasn't, you know, 100 pounds or more overweight. So I just didn't feel like I qualified. But I felt like as soon as I gave myself permission to qualify, because I feel the same feelings that everybody else was feeling, I feel like that's when, recovery really, really started. I have a noticeably improved relationship with my sister. I've gone on three all-inclusive vacations and remained abstinent. Even though I got sober in another program, I will tell you this program introduced me to my higher power and what it really means to rely on a higher power. Also, even in all the years of my other program, I never did like a daily 10th step when I had a resentment. And I used to think a resentment had to be something like really, really, really huge. And it turns out that if I get cut off in traffic and it bothers me, like I can do a resentment inventory on that. I can do a 10th step on that. Like any sort of, what do you say, like annoyance, like even the smallest annoyance, if it's going to cut me off from my higher power, I can do a 10th step on it. I have made amends to people that I need to make amends to in this program, and my life like exploded with blessings after that. Now that wasn't the reason that I did it, but I'm glad that I did. Every holiday now, like even today, like it's crazy because every single holiday from the moment that I was born revolved around what I was going to eat. Specifically one holiday that has the bunny. Like I remember I would have permission to wake up in the morning and just start eating. Like that was what I looked forward to. That was my life, I have always had a problem throwing away food, and now I don't have a problem throwing away food that I know isn't mine. If it's run its course in the house, because I don't live in a house with compulsive overeaters. I don't, my son will eat two cookies and walk away. It is the strangest thing. But things like actually go bad and sit there on the counter for a really long time. And I used to have such a hard time throwing that stuff away, whether I was eating it or not. I don't gift or reward myself with food. And I heard somebody say that in a meeting years ago. And I thought, well, she's a liar, and it turns out that like I don't have to do that either. It doesn't mean that I can't have things that I enjoy, but it's not like I've been so good I can have this, One of the biggest gifts of this program, especially here in recent years, is the ability to pause before reacting. I feel like I was a loose cannon before. Like I just was just fly off the handle and lose my temper. And now I ask my higher power to help me pause. I'll wrap up in just a second. I see the timer going out. I can travel now, like without extreme anxiety. I can prepare my foods before, during, and after. I always have a fellow that I can reach out to that I can bookend with. It's a beautiful relief to be in a dressing room or trying on clothes and then not completely crying and going down into like some kind of mental spiral for the next 3 days. There's just so many things. It's also really nice to just like not be on a diet. It's really nice to be on not be on a diet and part of a program of recovery where other people understand. I think that the overall message I think that I want to convey right now is just that every single day is something new, and I still have struggles. I still don't like getting on the scale. I'm still not 100% happy with myself all the time. But the miracle is that the tools of this program keep me in touch with you guys and my higher power, and I'm able to pretty much get through anything, whether it's related to food or life, with the program, And it's amazing to me to come from such disordered thinking and being treated like, you just weren't right from the beginning and you were born wrong. I always felt like somebody got a manual to life, and I missed the day when they were handing them out. I never felt like I was right, but I've never ever felt more right than I do now, in program. And I'm really excited to hear everybody's shares. And if I'm not on camera, I am here. I'm just going to be doing a couple things that I don't want it to be distracting, but I'm really looking forward to hearing everyone. And hopefully I said something that, made some sense. And I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and thank you for the service.